Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are rebroadcast during the week at a2zen.fm. You will need to go to their website and check the listings for the times and days because they do change. And we archive the programs here at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Today's program, I think, is right up our alley as far as looking for those new ways of living as well as working and being. And our guest has written a book called Zentrepreneur, Get Out of the Way and Lead, Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness. John J. Murphy, welcome to Tell Me Your Story. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Richard. So glad to be here.
First of all, I like the new phrase or the new word that you've created, Zentrepreneur. I'm pretty certain, just at a glance when I first saw the title, had something to do with the current state of one's desire to start a business based upon something they loved to do or create, and combine that with Zen Buddhism. Am I close?
Yeah, you're very close. You know, the idea is make something happen, so make something positive happen. So sometimes one word can tell a story. And the entrepreneur says, what happens when you combine the practice and the discipline of Zen, which is, of course, being present, being poised, being confident, being balanced and wise and holistic and looking at the big picture with action, you know, with taking risk and being entrepreneurial. And truth is, I think there's this entrepreneur in all of us. It's our spirit seeking expression, seeking a way to create and make something happen. And we get in our own way a lot because we talk ourselves out of things.
Well, that is a fact. I mean, I am willing to admit that I am one of those that has gotten in his own way from time to time. I am also grateful that things are going so well for you and the work that you're doing. But I also encourage our listeners to check out the book, Zentrepreneur. Again, it's a getting out of the way and lead, create a culture of innovation and freedom. Let's dive in a little bit here into this whole concept because there's a movie that I've seen. It's in two parts. Apparently, part three is coming out next year or this year, 2014. And there's a book that it's based on, and it goes back to the 1950s. And the first two episodes or parts that I watched of this book adapted to movie had an interesting concept. But my problem was that the concept would have worked if it had been implemented within the next 15 or 20 years of the idea coming to fruition. And because our economic and business model has changed so much, here we are in the 21st century, I don't think the ideas apply anymore, and yet people are still touting this individual's philosophy. And so what I'm looking at, John, is looking at your concepts of basically having people tap the extraordinary power and mystery of the Zentrepreneur, overcoming resistance to change, and that is a huge one. Matter of fact, I'm going to start right there. Let's talk about change. It's the constant in the universe. We cannot escape it. We ask and beg for change when things aren't going well. But when change comes, I'm not sure it seems like we're miswired when it comes to this. Like, okay, I want change. I'm bored or I don't like where things are now. But when things change, we go nuts.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an issue of control. People want to think that they're in control when, in fact, you never really are. Control is an illusion. And you said you hit the nail on the head. Change is always. It's never ending. It's the only thing that actually endures, as I believe it was Plato said. So the practice of Zen is about riding the wave, so to speak, getting in touch with the great flow, great Tao, and using change to our advantage, rather than resist growth, resist learning, resist new relationships with people, an ever-growing expansion of our social network, of our abundance. of love, of spirit and expression and creativity, just continue to open up to that vast pool, if you will, of abundance, and amazing things happen. But you said it perfectly. People, as soon as the change disrupts their comfort zone, that control that we all seem to want,
mm-hmm.
It kind of throws us off. So what we really have to do to be, to flow, what I call flow, is let go. We've got to let go to let flow. And that's not always easy because we tend to attach ourselves to things, to people, to titles, to jobs, to assets. We attach ourselves, and it's tough to let go. But when we let go, when we empty our bowl, so to speak, we have more coming.
So how do we rewire or rewrite the programming in our hard drives to make change our comfort zone? I mean, you've sort of alluded to it, but I mean, I guess I'm really coming down to the practical stuff here, John. How do we do this?
Well, there's some great tools to do it. For example, meditation is a wonderful tool. I start every day with 20 minutes of meditation, which is simply a way to let go of the drama of the ego, the drama of the mind, and get grounded and get present and get into our breathing, into our breath, into our spirit, our re-spirit, our respiration. And there are also techniques like EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, is a wonderful tool for tapping, meridian tapping away blockage,
yeah,
and fears and phobias. It's a wonderful tool. There's a tool called TRE, Trauma Release Exercises, where you literally get into certain positions and shake off tension and trauma that could be in your tissues for decades. There's just some fantastic techniques. The Quick Coherence Technique, developed by HeartMath Institute, is a technique I use. It's simply a heart breathing technique. And as we practice these tools and these techniques, the mind clears, and we don't get worked up over things. I developed a tool, The Four Steps to Inner Peace, in a book a number of years ago. Actually, I channeled it. I can't say I really developed it because it just came to me, but I put it on paper. And the four steps to inner peace are let be, let go, let see, and let flow. And what that means is we have to start by just accepting what is. We can't change what is. It just is. And yet a lot of people resist what's already happened. And it's foolish because you can't do anything about it, you know? So we go through life criticizing the past or being upset about the past. You know, get over it. So we've got to let be and be present. And then a great tool for that is meditation, contemplation. And then we let go. And what do we let go of? We let go of a lot of mental chatter. We let go of a lot of baggage, emotional, mental, even physical baggage. And that takes trust, you know, and that takes faith. And often that's the missing link. We've got to let go. We have to step up a little bit. But here's what happens. When we accept what is, and we let go of blockage, and we let go of clutter, we see the world entirely different. And everything we manifest in the world comes from what we see. What we see in the mind's eye is imagination. And quizzed entrepreneurs are good at this because we think very positive. When we see a beautiful world with balance, the yin and yang of everything. And so, you know, a lot of times, in fact, what happened for me is people that used to annoy me, people that used to bother me, I now see them as teachers. They're teaching me to be patient. They're teaching me to be present. And it's not them. It's me. If I have a problem with the way they act, it's not them. It's me. And when we see the world differently, you know, and with the law of attraction and everything else, we flow. So the fourth step is let flow, and then we're back to let be again. It's a circular, iterative process. And the more I practice that ring of peace, wow, you know, the more the results just continue to evolve and grow, and it's quite powerful.
Here's an aspect of our economy in the news media in particular that I find, I'm going to put it this way, thoroughly frustrating. And it's not the numbers. It is the way that the numbers are spoken about. Now, what I mean by that is this. I can understand when an economist in a report might say that, yeah, well, the numbers are down, that's not good, and then so on and so on and so on. What gets me is when the numbers are up and they're still not good. It's like it's never good enough. It's never enough. It's like we just went through a rather tumultuous, we're calling it a recession. Other people have other terms for it as well. But we're calling it that. It started around, 2007, 2008. What I can tell you, John, is my wife and I moved from Phoenix to Santa Barbara in May of 2006. 2 weeks after we left, the real estate market started to fall apart in Phoenix and the Arizona area. There's something to be said for timing and following your intuition, to say the very least, and yep. I certainly can understand that. But what is our problem with the numbers never being good enough? The trends, the slope upward is never good enough. I mean, my question to the economist would be, what would be good numbers? If you could make it happen right now, where would that number be? Where would the slope, what would the angle of ascent be?
Well, yeah, it's a great question, and the punchline is that it's an ego consciousness. There's two consciousnesses, if you will, if you want to think of it that way. Two true emotions. Actually, there's only one true emotion, and it's the emotion of love. And the absence of love, or the blockage of love, is what we often call fear. But fear comes from the ego mentality, the ego thought system. And the ego thoughts, a lot of people think they have their own personal ego. You know, my ego or your ego or someone's got a big ego. But the reality is the ego is a thought system. There's only one ego. And it thinks the same no matter who attaches to it. And it is dualistic. It is never satisfied. It is a competitive. It is comparative. So it's always comparing you with someone else. It's always the numbers are never good enough. And as soon as you accomplish something, the ego thought system is saying, you know what you need to do? You need to do more. You need to go back to school. You need to get yourself a bigger house or better job. And as long as we are attached to that thought system, we're never satisfied. And so one of the things we have to learn to let go of is that attachment to the ego thought system, which is very human. You know, we grow up with it. But beyond the ego, you know, to transcend that ego thought system is this unconditional love. It's what many cultures call enlightenment, awakening. You know, in Zen, it's awakening. The word Buddha means awaken. So it's an awakening. It's salvation. The Christians would call salvation. And so beyond this personal purgatory, this ego, we have the opportunity, all of us do, to let go of that competitive, comparative, never good enough thought system, and be at peace, and be present, truly present. And that's what Zentrepreneurs do, because when you're in the presence of a Zentrepreneur, they're not comparing themselves to everybody else, like a lot of entrepreneurs do. They're not, they're not insecure, and they're very poised and very confident and very composed. So it's the ego thought system that is the root cause, if you will, to that. It's never good enough drama. And the media, of course, feeds on it. The media loves that. It makes a good story.
Well, I like I said, when I listen to these guys talking in the mornings when I'm heading for work, I will tell you how I learned how to, as far as the economy is concerned, how to best view it as the difference between a slow growth tree and a fast growth tree. And if you are looking to plant these trees as a windbreak or some kind of protection as well as shade in the summer, which would you rather have? Now, if I plant them in the spring, I want these trees huge by summertime so it's shade in my house and me. The problem is they're going to blow over in the first a strong gust of wind, whereas the slow-growth trees are going to be there for, who knows, centuries, like the redwoods in Northern California.
Sure.
And that's kind of how I look at it. I have another question for you in regards to our economy. I want to get into some of these other aspects of entrepreneurism as well. And that is in terms of the current system, economic system. Now, whether we want to look at the U.S. system of capitalism and free enterprise, or we want to broaden it to the global economy. And there is no one word to describe it as we have here in the West, in the United States. My question is, who said that this was the way that it has to be, that this is the only best way to do things, especially when we start looking around at the inequities between, I'll use the terms, either the haves or and the have-nots, or the 1%ers and the 99%ers? Who said that this was it? We're in nirvana when it comes to economic systems.
Yeah, well, it's a collective consciousness. You know, it's all of our ideas and thoughts contributing to a collective consciousness. So, of course, in the United States, that collective consciousness is all about capitalism, you know, and competition and free enterprise. And so we grow up with that paradigm, with that business model, with that economic model, and we're programmed to believe that that's the best and that's true. Other, you know, countries and cultures see it differently. But the Zentrepreneur is someone who, within whatever system we are handed, we find a way to make good change. So, that means that we're not immune to the system, because the system itself is very positive, powerful. I go back to when I was in high school. I mean, I was starting businesses with a lawnmower, with a garden hoe, with a paper route, looking for ways to get out there and make a buck and do something positive. I see people doing that all the time. Think about how many people come to this country from other countries with very little. And the next thing you know, they've got a little restaurant kicking off, and the next thing you know, they've got a chain. Or a massage parlor, or a reflexology parlor, all kinds of things. And so much of it's in the mind. And if we believe that we can, you know, we can do it. The old saying is, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And this entrepreneur says, I'll see it when I believe it. So if we really believe we can make a positive difference and get out and do something, irregardless of the system. In other words, we don't want to use the system as an excuse to why we're not successful. You know, it's the government, it's the school system, it's the economy or whatever. And by the way, I've had my lumps. I've taken my lumps big time with the economic challenges we've had since, like you said, since 2007 and 8. But the entrepreneur doesn't lose hope. And the entrepreneur learns from the experience and looks for a way to pick ourselves up and go at it from another angle.
All right. Let me throw sort of a paradox that exists, has existed for now it'll be like 120, maybe 130 years. We were still sort of in our infancy as a country, but there were people who wanted to come to this country because they were told that this was the land of opportunity, that you could make anything happen. Okay? And people coming across Ellis Island, that was their dream. I'm going to go to America and I'm going to seek my fortune. Not necessarily going all the way to California to dig for gold, but creating a business, and many of them did, and those businesses that they started back then are now major corporations, or they may not exist anymore. But be that as it may, And then you have a government in the last 40 years that has been telling you that if, and it's been getting worse and worse over the course of time, that if you make too much money, we're going to take it from you. It's like if you want to be a millionaire, good luck with that, because if you make a million or more, the government is going to take more and more from you because, well, you have $1 million, you can afford it. So you have sort of two diametrically opposed messages, not just to immigrants coming here, but it took me years to finally realize, do you know that that message given to the immigrants 120 years ago, it applies to me too, and I was born here. But I was never told that that was the case. I mean, and it was never said to me, Richard, this is the land of opportunity, and you were born here, and you can make anything happen that you want. No one ever said that to me.
Well, I believe it is the land of opportunity, and the entrepreneur, if the entrepreneur is making $1 million and 35% is going to federal tax, the entrepreneur will say, well, I'll make $2 million. I'll make $3 million. Because it doesn't matter. We make it matter if we make it matter. Mm-hmm. And we can get angry about it, and we can get bitter. But as soon as we go into resistance, as soon as we go into those lower energies, and all of these energies are calibrated. I love the work of Dr. David Hawkins, who calibrates these different emotional energies. When we go into anger and we go into resentment, it's a very low energy. And all we do with the law of attraction is attract more of that. So if I go through life critical, I attract more to be critical about. It's like I'm on a treadmill of negativism.
Mm-hmm.
If I learn to let that all go and say, you know what, I'm not thrilled about paying these huge percentages to the government, especially if some of the money is abused or not used wisely. And it's appalling, I think, that as a country, we're in so much debt. But as an entrepreneur, I'm not going to let it upset me. I'm not going to let it emotionally rock my world, because then I'm just going to be asking for more emotional showers.
Not going to let it. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to let it deter you in any way from doing that which you want to do. Then there's another message that we also receive that, which is it's a wonderful thing that people share. And in my industry, in particular, we joke about the fact that, you know, if you're going into radio or you're going into broadcasting, thinking that you're going to make lots of money, think again. There is no money here, at least for those who are, you know, maybe in front of the camera, in front of the mic, unless you are really good, like a Larry King or Dan Rather or somebody of that nature, some of that ilk. But that's not why most of us stay. Most of us stay because we love what we do. And a lot of folks are doing what they love to do. A lot of folks lost their jobs doing probably what they didn't love doing. So maybe the layoffs of 2008, 9, 10, 11 were maybe a blessing in disguise.
Well, I think so, and I think there's a lot of blessing in disguise. You know, I lost my job in 1988, and my wife was pregnant with our second child at the time. I was in debt. I had no savings, and it was a brutal time. And it's the year I started my company, which just turned 25 this year.
Wow.
So that's the Zentrepreneur. You know, I've had crippling injuries where I've been told, for example, my football career was over. By internationally recognized and award-winning surgeons who worked on me. And I played football 3 years later at Notre Dame. So I've been told many times in my life that I can't do certain things. I was told many years ago I'd never make it as a writer, that I was just not a good writer. You know, I've got 17 books published right now.
I was going to go down the list.
Yeah.
Saying, no.
To me, it's sort of a motivation, because the world is so full of people who say you can't. And I tell you what, it's like Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love that quote, because what do you think? So
yeah.
I think it's very important that if there are things we want to let go of to let flow, let's let go of some of that inner noise that we have going on, the can'ts, the shoulds, the shouldn'ts, you know, the regret, the guilt, the grief. Those are very low energies, the anger, the criticism, the resistance.
Right. I know there are some people who will actually use that you can't do this or that or the other thing as reverse psychology. They're trying to encourage the person to go do it. So they figure, well, I'll tell them they can't or don't. And they're so belligerent, they'll go and do it just to prove me wrong. But I want them to succeed. I want them to do this. But I know that what you're talking about is not those people. Those people that you were hearing from, they were telling you, you can't, you shouldn't, don't, because they believed that you shouldn't and that you know, it's too big a risk. And I guess that's another aspect of all of this, too, is the aspect of risk. When you're being a zentrepreneur, I said it fine earlier in the show, I'll get it. you're not really, I want to say you're not really risking when you're out there doing what it is that you desire and love and want to and are led to do. It's not really a risk, especially if you're following your intuition, because as I've shared with our listeners on many occasions, your intuition will never lead you astray. It may challenge you. You know, it may put you in some tough situations that you've got to make choices, but that's the whole point. But it will never harm you in that regard. So what are you really risking?
Yeah, well, exactly. And when you transcend that ego thought system I was talking about earlier, what mm-hmm. you're doing is you're transcending fear. It's one and the same. So the opposite of love is really fear, and fear is the ego thought system. And within that thought system, it's all of these, you can't, you shouldn't, you need more, and it's just a bunch of drama and mental baggage. So when you drop all of that, and you learn how, and there are many techniques, like we talked about, to drop it, and you no longer have fear. You go through life without fear. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything right. I use the example, you know, I was a quarterback, and when you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you know, you've got a play call, you've got a strategy, you've got a game plan, you've been practicing all week. You expect the play to work, but the truth is you've got no idea what's going to happen because life is uncertain and the future is uncertain. So you don't get afraid because that's just going to, you're not going to win. You're going to get hurt. But so poise and presence and grace and some of these Zen-like qualities are absolutely critical in leadership, because who wants to follow a nervous Nelly? Who wants to follow somebody that's obviously afraid and is just going through life in protection mode, all right, and covering their hind end and using turf and politics and manipulation to get things done. And we've all had bosses like that or people we've worked with. And people see it, and it's discouraging because it's weak. Mm-hmm. It's insecure. And so the Zentrepreneur, and again, there's one within all of us, we just have to unleash it. And we have to unleash it by getting out of our own way. And, in the book I teach how to get rid of it. And there's some very simple questions to contemplate and some tools to use. To hit the delete button, so to speak. It's the mind is like a computer, and it's loaded with programs. And a lot of these programs are like mental viruses. You know, a computer isn't going to run very well on mental viruses. So we've got to learn how to hit the delete button and get this stuff out so that we can run efficiently. The problem is a lot of these mental programs, they're called memes, are subconscious. They're beneath consciousness, meaning we're not aware of them. So we go through life on autopilot, not recognizing, by the way, that over 95% of our daily life is run by our subconscious mind, our habitual mind, our autopilot. So if 95% of our life is being run by this autopilot and it's subconscious, meaning we don't really know what it's thinking, that's why we have to wake up. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break here. We're going to talk more with John J. Murphy. He is the author of Zentrepreneur, Get Out of the Way and Lead, Create a culture of innovation and fearlessness. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. I want you to stay right where you are because we're coming back with more.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes. And on that great ocean road, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for staying with us here on the program as we continue talking with John J. Murphy, author of Zentrepreneur, Get Out of the Way and Lead, Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness. And John, I think that as we were talking and wrapping up in the last segment in terms of a lot of those, and I think you're probably very accurate in describing the programs that we have running in our heads as actually computer viruses that get in our way from creating that type of thing. I had asked you earlier sort of a generalized question about the current system that we have. Now, I would agree with you. One of the reasons I very rarely watch the news on television, matter of fact, we don't subscribe to a service anymore. So now everything's on demand. So if I want to watch any news, I literally have to go looking for it. And I hear enough of it on the radio as I'm driving, so I think I'd get my fill. But it's one of the methods that I've chosen to try not to reinforce any of those viruses that I've got running in my head. We all have them. And stay focused. I've even shared this with people that if you stop focusing on what's going on out there, and you mentioned this in terms of my questions in that regard about being, you know, critical about the way things are, then you have more energy to focus on the things that you really want to do in your life.
Absolutely. Well, and I always say this, that the world cannot be at peace if you're not at peace. So why not start with that?
As the saying goes, be the peace that you are looking for, or be the peace. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. So stop talking about all that stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Stop talking about how other people should be at peace when you're not. And so, you know, the Zentrepreneur is at peace. It's and here's, you know, there's some very practical stuff to do. You'd asked earlier about some practical stuff. You know, I used to wake up. My parents were news junkies, you know, and it was just the news. And I didn't even realize that these were all downloads at the time. These are all mental downloads. Everything in our life is a download. And when you start paying attention to the downloads that children grow up with, that we grow up with in school, if you just think about these as downloads, you know, a lot of them are complete BS. Quite honestly,
mm-hmm.
just complete BS. So I would say, pay attention to who you pay attention to, and because we're just being bombarded every day with these downloads. So I stopped watching the morning news and started meditating instead. You know, I get up, I set my alarm early, and I give myself 20 minutes every morning to do a very deep healing Taoist meditation. And so instead of starting my day off with who's killing who and what disaster is followed what disaster and, you know, all this stuff that we can then quickly, you know, complain about, get agitated about, we have to remember that the entire world, everything we experience, everything we do, and ourselves included, are just frequencies. We're energy. We're energy beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we vibrate at a certain frequency. So what frequency do we want to vibrate at, so to speak? Do we want to vibrate at this negative, critical, guilty, grief-stricken, angry, jealous, fearful, apathetic frequency? Or do we want to I go through the day, go through life at a joyful, open, loving, kind, compassionate frequency. I can tell you my choice. And now some people say, well, that's easier said than done. I accept that. But it's very doable. I've done it.
Yeah.
And I teach it. And a lot of people I've taught do it. And they're very thankful for it. So well, why not do it?
Well, exactly. A thought even occurred to me in the light of what we're talking about. Here would be the new abbreviated newscast. You come on, introduce yourself. And instead of telling people what happened, you'd basically ask the following questions. Did anybody die today? Yes. Was anybody hurt today? Yes. Were there natural disasters today? Yes. Were there equipment failures today? Yes. Were people not nice to one another? Was there corruption? In other words, you'd go down the laundry list and answer yes to all these questions. And that's our news for today. Thank you very much for tuning in. And now we get take you back to our higher vibration positive programming. And the reason I mention that is because chapter 7 of your book, I would have changed the title because of something happened to me. Your chapter 7 says, yeah, but, and this is where you use the Henry Ford quote, if you say you can or you can't, you're right. I was talking with a friend of mine and I said to her, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And she stopped me. She says, do you know what a yeah, but is? And of course I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, I don't know. What are you talking about? And she says, a yeah, but is an animal with two long ears and a fluffy tail. That's what she said to me. And it was at that point that it's like, oh, I see. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
And so that made a nice change in my life in regards to looking at things. But I've always been an optimistic person in spite of what I'm happened to see on the news in the past or a glance at the newsstand in the paper or what have you, or hear from other people for that matter. I mean, everybody's going through their own stuff.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, there are over 7 billion people on the planet, and this kind of applies to the issue of privacy. God already knows all my stuff. What difference does it make if the other 7 billion people on the planet know, and most of them don't care anyway? So,
well, yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And the thing is, Richard, at the end of the day and then throughout the day, and at the beginning of the day for that matter, how we feel is critical, because how we feel is, with the law of attraction, what we draw into our lives. Mm-hmm. How we feel that from that heart coherence. It's not what we think from the mind. It's how we feel. So if we feel joyful, because we think about positive, loving, joyful experiences, that frequency is calling out to itself. So when I go into businesses every week, this is, by the way, the first full week I have not been on the road this calendar year.
Wow.
I travel every week. I go into businesses all over the place, and I teach improvement. I run kaizens, which are it's a Japanese word for good change. So we're in a kaizen event in 3 or 4 days or 5 days with the right people in the room for the whole week. We make more change than a lot of companies do in 6 to 12 months.
Mm.
We make change very fast. It's inspiring. It's positive. It's powerful. And people are like blown away. But I do that because when I come into the room, I am up. I am positive. I am prepared. I am that quarterback walking up to the line of scrimmage, not sure about anything that's actually going to happen, but I'm not going in there feeling like, man, we're doomed, the world is really screwed up, or the government is really messing things up, like you said, we can tune in every day to all of these terrible things going on in the world, or we can tune into all of the great things that are going on in the world. That's the yin and yang of Zentrepreneurism, because yin yang is the perfect balance of the universe. And it's important because it gives us context. We cannot know what up means if we don't know what down means. We cannot know what light means if we don't know what dark means. We have to have contrast So the world will always be at war. The world will always be in a disruptive state. It's yin and yang. But what the entrepreneur reminds him or herself about is that every time there's a natural disaster, there's people stepping up to help. There's positive. Every time there's a crisis, there's people stepping up to be positive. Why? Because they choose to be. They choose to drop whatever it is they're doing and help out. That's beautiful. Why not focus on that? But notice how many people don't. Notice how many people complain and whine and you know, look at the negative. It's going on all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you hear it in the news as well. Let's go back to something that is of great concern. We have a conversation that happens fairly regularly here on the Central Coast, especially here in Santa Barbara. Somebody moves here, they'll go to a restaurant, you know, and they love the atmosphere, they love the food they're eating and the service and so forth, and they will say, oh, I want to open a restaurant. I think this would be a lot of fun. And one of the first questions that is asked of them by folks who are in the know here and in the business community is, okay, let me ask you one question. Why do you want to open a restaurant? And of course, the answer they're looking for is to make money. But the answer that they get is, well, because I like having people around. I like cooking. I have some great recipes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at that point, the business person says, don't go into the restaurant business. You will not succeed. When are we going to be able to go into business because we love what we're doing? Why does it always have to be about money?
Well, I'll just say this. It's not an either or, it's a both.
Okay.
We should most certainly love what we're doing. I love what I'm doing. And it's helped me weather a lot of storms over the last 25 years. But that passion and that calling is critical to me. And as entrepreneurs going to follow their heart. They're going to follow that passion and that calling, whether it's a restaurant or it's writing books or consulting or giving speeches or doing a radio show. It's a calling, and it's where we're aligned with our divine spirit. And that's very important because, you know, you can make all the money in the world, but if you're miserable, it's just life's too short. Now, having said that, I think of money as the lifeblood of business. So it's currency, meaning it's a form of flow.
Mm-hmm.
Without cash flow, that business isn't going to live. It, you know, without blood flow, that body isn't going to live. We've got to have healthy flow. And that's not just cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's creativity flow. It's people flow. It's product flow. We're selling products. So the key word in business, as entrepreneur aims at, is in one word, is flow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get people to feel good about what they're doing and flow. We got to get ideas to flow if we're going to be creative and innovative. And, of course, we've got to get cash to flow or we're going to go broke. So it's very important. You know, I had to give a lot of thought to how am I going to get this business to survive, because without cash flow, it's just it's not a charity. And so it's not an either or, it's a both. We've mm-hmm. got to have money. And so if I were starting a restaurant, I'd be looking at ways to make a buck doing something I love.
There you go. There you go. We're talking with author of Zentrepreneur, John Murphy, and we're talking about a lot of different things when it comes to your creativity and helping you to transcend fear-based motivation and the illusion of control. And every time I see the word illusion, John, I think of Lewis Black, and his comedic thing on this is, it's all an illusion. He elongates the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is great, and that people are living in a delusion. I think it epitomizes kind of where we are. But I don't find, and help me to understand this, that illusions and delusions, however you want to use the word, are not necessarily part of the duality that we are kind of talking about here. Those are perceptions that are in our minds. The dualities are, it's kind of like you were talking about before in terms of, well, there's always going to be some kind of conflict on the planet somewhere. And you're also going to have people doing kind and good things to others, helping them through at any time of the year, not just during the holidays, and so on and so forth. But it seems to me like it's these pictures that we've created in our minds that, you know, you've talked about trying to delete. And some of them are really, bunkered down, so to speak, really entrenched into our hard drives, if you will. Almost like, how am I going to delete this? How am I going to get rid of this? How am I going to? And I don't know. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. And one of the thoughts is that, well, you could overwrite it. But even in the computer age, and I know this much, that you cannot overwrite a hard drive with new programming, because the old programming technically is still there. You literally have to, there's a process of literally wiping the drive of the old data, almost like, I mean, they're magnetic impulses is what they are. So if you demagnetize it, the impulses will fly off the drive, you remagnetize it, and you can start fresh.
Well, yeah, and you know, I say this: people are much better at complicating things than simplifying things. So, isn't that true?
You know? Yes, yes, it is.
It's very true.
I'm at the top of the I'm at the front of the line on that one.
Yeah, what I refer to as closet space. We never seem to have enough closet space.
Yep.
We keep adding and adding and adding, and then we need more. And we do the same thing with time, by the way. You know, we keep adding and adding, and then we don't seem to have enough time to exercise or be with the family or do what we want to do. And, you know, the genius, if you will, of this entrepreneur and the wisdom of this entrepreneur is rather than instinctively add, which is what a lot of people do, we stop and we say, what can we subtract? One of my favorite quotes of all time was from Einstein. He said, any intelligent fool can make things bigger and more complex. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the entrepreneur is often going in the opposite direction. We accomplish a great deal with simplicity. And you used the term earlier in the show, paradox. It's very paradoxical, the geniuses. And so the questions we ask are things like, how can I go slower and move faster? How can I do less and accomplish more? And when we contemplate these kinds of questions, amazing creative ideas will surface, because we can go slower and move faster. It doesn't seem to make sense, but it's very possible. In fact, when you look at people who are really good at what they do, they don't appear to be working that hard. There's a gracefulness. I always use the metaphor of like a great swimmer. You know, an Olympic swimmer is graceful in the water. They're moving through the water very efficiently. But compare that to somebody that just fell in the pool that doesn't know how to swim well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gasping and thrashing around and drowning. And when I walk into a lot of businesses, that's what I see. I see gasping and thrashing and people, you know, expediting and running around trying to get things done. There's no flow. There's no grace. So, you know, this entrepreneur says, how do we simplify what's so complicated? What can we let go of? And it's very true of all of us, because we do complicate. And so rather than add Band-Aids to some of these things, like you said, trying to override the drive,
right,
the real secret is letting go.
Yeah.
It's hitting the delete button and letting go. That's the key.
You know, I've been fortunate in my career that I can honestly say that I've been in the right place at the right time throughout my entire career. I've been very lucky in that respect, or divine providence, or I've listened to my intuition, what have you. And where I'm right now, the motto within the station is, we are here to serve. So when a customer, a client, an advertiser, a programmer comes through the door and asks us a question, the first response is never no. If we know the answer and we know that we can assist them in what they want, obviously it's going to be yes, and here's what we're going to do. If we don't know the answer, or even if the first blush is no in our heads, We don't say no. We say, give me some time to think through this and try to figure out something. And I don't think that we've ever turned anybody away for anything that they've ever asked us for if they've given us enough time. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are so successful here. You know, I mean, we're not a multi-million dollar budget station in that respect. But I got to tell you, the clients and the customers that have come through here, they come back again and again, and they love being here, and they love being around this energy that's at this station and in this area. Why?
Yeah,
well, what? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was going to say sometimes it's the simple things that really wow the customers and the clients too. I wrote a book last year called The How of Wow, and I give examples in the book where something so simple that we can do will get customers and clients talking for years. Something so simple. As part of Zentrepreneurial thinking and awakening and awareness, so often it's paying attention to the little things and the big things as well, but the little things and going out of our way to really make a customer feel good, because when they feel good and we feel good, there you have it.
Yeah.
You know, there you have it.
And these techniques and that which you have written about in this particular work, Zentrepreneur, this is not something that you keep at the office. I'm just going to use Zentrepreneurism at the office, when I'm at work, when I'm out with clients. This transcends from the time your head comes off the pillow until it comes back on the pillow that night.
Oh, absolutely. It's whether you're running a household or a small business, or, you know, I've been spending most of this year with one of the largest companies in this country, 60,000+ people, and in need of change, in need of simplification. A lot of complexities. So whether it's a multi-billion-dollar corporation or it's a household, the Zentrepreneurial approach and questions really applies to everyone.
How does the Zentrepreneurial approach apply when we go through these kinds of situations that we have in the last 5 or 6 years that have created the incredible unemployment, the incredible slashes in salaries and hourly wages, and increased the workload for those who are left behind?
Well, you start with the questions that I cover in the book, because mm-hmm. the idea of the book is to be very contemplative and put judgment aside and suspend disbelief
mm-hmm.
and start with these contemplative questions. So chapter one, of course, is what if?
I like that.
What if I try something different?
Yeah.
What, you know, whether it's running a household or a small business, what if I go back to school? What if I take an online course? What if I write a book? What if I start a blog? What if? The thing is it doesn't matter what we do, whether we're a fitness instructor, a yoga teacher, a radio show host, there are other things we can do to supplement our lives and our incomes. So when you look at, you know, this P90X, for example, it differentiates one fitness instructor from everyone else. When you look into the consulting world, which is what I work in, a bestseller differentiates you from hundreds of thousands of other consultants. A chef that gets a TV show differentiates him or herself from hundreds of thousands of other chefs, millions of other chefs.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have the opportunity to go outside the box, so to speak, by asking what if. And chapter two is why, and chapter three is why not. So when we play with these ideas, you know, why do it, why not do it? Here's the punchline. So often we are trying to solve problems inside a box, inside a paradigm, and we're not aware that it is the paradigm itself that is the problem. So we're inside a box trying to solve problems when the box itself is the problem. And so what happens is we never actually solve the problem, and we, you know, maybe we solve one and we create three more because we're not aware of the overall system's impact.
Yeah.
So these questions challenge us to step back, get other people involved. This is not an independent thing. This is, you know, as entrepreneurs are very team oriented. We ask for help. We seek help. We seek counsel. It's not an egotistical, I'm going to do it all myself kind of approach. It's a very participative, tribal approach, if you will.
Yeah. I remember, I guess it was during the last election cycle, I kept seeing these images of these groups of people, these entrepreneurs who were, you know, obviously concerned about, you know, what the future held, depending upon who was the next president or who was in Congress. And they were saying, look, I did this. I made this happen. I did this. And, you know, I built this build. I built this business. And it's I. And I'm going, no, you didn't do it yourself. Nobody does it themselves. My career is, I'm at the top of the pyramid of my career only because I chose to go this direction. But there are a lot of people who contributed to what I have become. And I'm grateful for their contributions.
Well, you know what? Gratefulness and appreciation are two of the highest frequency energies. So if somebody wants to transcend the ego thought system quickly, and somebody wants to get out of that deep, dark, heavy energy field and into a much lighter, more enlightening, joyful field, stop and count your blessings. Stop and think about all the things you can be thankful for. And there's thousands, you know, there's the thousands of things we can be thankful for, but we lose sight of it.
Yeah.
You know? Start with your fingers. Start with your toes. You know,
start with
you know, your relationships with people. Start with your breath. You're thankful for air.
Yeah.
You know, try to live without it. So there's just so many things we can be thankful for, but we tend to forget. And then it's that ego taking charge, saying, you know, it's you deserve more, and you know, you've been a victim. You know, the victim consciousness is a disease.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish there was a pill for that, but there isn't.
Yeah.
By the way, I, in addition to being grateful for all of those who came before me who have shared with me all of their wisdom and knowledge, I now want to return that favor to those who are interested in terms of, and actually it brought to mind the whole aspect when I was first growing up in this business, I was told that I needed to do everything I could to become indispensable. And I've seen where that's gotten me. That is a lousy place to be. Now, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't want to learn everything I can about the business that I'm in. But the last thing I want to be is indispensable to where they can't do without me, because then they'll never want to replace me. I want to create new replacements, because I want to see, as long as I'm still doing the same old job that I'm doing, I can never move on.
Well, exactly.
I can never grow.
Yeah. It's what's the Dalai Lama refers to it as the wisdom of emptiness. I had the chance to go see the Dalai Lama on his birthday.
Wonderful.
A wonderful experience, and he was speaking on the wisdom of emptiness in the Heart Sutra. And what this means is, if you just think about a bowl, if the bowl is full, it can take on no more. So in order for us to, you know, fill our bowl, we have to let go of what's in the bowl.
Yeah.
We have to get rid of it. This is the same thing with the closet space I mentioned earlier. We gotta let go of stuff for circulation, for flow.
Well,
and I think it's just brilliant, because what happens so often is we go through life with so much stuff jammed into our bowl, we just can't take on anymore, and we feel overwhelmed and anxious and stressed, and you know what? Let it go.
Yeah. Well, I know that for my wife and I, we are, we moved from Phoenix to Santa Barbara, and the moving company doesn't charge you by the move. They charge you by the pound. And I have to tell you, John, I never considered all of my stuff in that context, but I was shocked. Now, go ahead and subtract the piano. It's just an upright. It's an upright, so it wasn't really that heavy. 9,000 pounds.
Wow.
4.5 tons of stuff loaded into a cab over 18-wheeler.
Wow.
We have spent the last 7.5, 8 years honing things down. The piano is going to be going shortly. And we've cleared out this space and that space but it goes to your conversation about flow, that as long as there is no room for anything more, nothing more will come.
That's right.
And I have to say that for those people who either know or don't know that they're hoarders of whatever it is, it's the same kind of thing. It's for how I don't know where that comes from. Obviously, old messages, old paradigms that they grew up with and were taught. But I got to tell you, I don't want to live like that. I wish that I could be like I was when I was 8 or 9 years old, running around in the neighborhood. I didn't carry a wallet with me or keys.
Yep.
Or any identity. I was free.
Exactly.
And now you go berserk if you don't have your wallet in your back pocket.
That's right.
You know?
Well, you know, the Buddha said there was really 3 deadly sins, so to speak, kleshas, and they were attachment, aversion, and ignorance. And attachment is where we cling to these things, you know, the 9,000 pounds of stuff or the whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we cling to it. And so sometimes, you know, one of the most enlightening experiences we have is where we suddenly get these things ripped away from us.
Mm.
Disruptive, but from the ashes rises the phoenix.
Exactly.
You know, and we do the same thing with aversions. We go through life fearing cancers and diseases, Alzheimer's and you name it. And the thing is the more we give it our attention, the more we actually attract it into our lives.
Exactly.
You know? And then ignorance, the third. Ignorance is we just simply don't know what we don't know.
Mm-hmm. You know? And by the way, ignorance is okay. It's stupidity that's not okay, because you know better and yet you still do the stupid thing.
Well, you know what? That's right. And it's important that we're humble. And there's a humility to the Zentrepreneur. We're the first ones to admit we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't have all the answers.
Neither do I.
But I'll tell you what, I feel like that eighth grader, or the 8-year-old that you just described, free. Inspirited, without a lot of clutter, without a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable.
Yeah.
I travel every week, and so for the most part I live out of a suitcase. And if I've learned anything, it's that I really don't need much. You know, I need friendships, I need my family, my children, my relationships. Because that fuels me,
right?
Feeds me. You know, of course, I need physical food and water and things like that. But the truth is, we don't really need much.
No,
and we forget that.
Yeah,
and we get so attached to things that then we fear losing them. You know,
yeah.
And I've had all the toys. I've had boats and Sea-Doos and RVs and, you know, mansions, and I've had all that stuff. I don't have any of that anymore.
Yeah, well. It's remarkable to be able to get to that point in one's life. I myself and my wife, we actually have this quite unusual dream. The biggest dream we have is moving to Ireland, living there the rest of our days. The second one, which is kind of grandiose, if you've ever seen the movie with Albert Brooks called Lost in America, where he and his wife get a motorhome and they start traveling across the country. Of course, their first mistake is they stop in Vegas and blow their entire nest egg in Vegas.
Yeah.
And now they don't have to worry about being robbed. But one of our dreams is, of course, to do that very thing, is to jump in a motorhome, have all of our worldly possessions on that, inside there. And obviously, you can't have much. So you'd really have to pare down, which is fine. I mean, the less, the better. That you don't have to keep track of as much. And just travel around meeting people and seeing places that we've never seen before. waiting for that bridge to be built from Canada to Europe.
Yeah.
John, I want to thank you so much. I have a couple more questions before we wrap up, but tell us how we can find out more about you and your book. What's your website?
Well, my website is venturemanagementconsultants.com, as in nothing ventured, nothing gained. So all of the books are listed there on venturemanagementconsultants.com. There's some video clips and things like that that people can watch as well. I'm also very Googleable, so to speak.
I like that.
Lots of John Murphys in the world, but if you wrote John Murphy's Entrepreneur, John Murphy Teamwork, or John Murphy Leadership, I'd pop right up. I'm getting just wonderful feedback on the new book, Entrepreneur, from all over the world, in fact. So I'm just very excited that it's touched so many people, and that feels good.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. So let me ask you, who is John J. Murphy?
Well, he's an entrepreneur. He's a free spirit. He's an inspiration to people, meaning I am in spirit, meaning I am beyond fear, without doubt and resistance, so to speak. I'm very contemplative, meaning I see past that dualistic mind now, the right, wrong, us, them, win, lose, that ego thought system I talked about earlier, to what Rumi once wrote about, where he said, there is a field beyond right and wrong. I will meet you there. That field of peace, of nirvana, of heaven on earth, the same thing Jesus spoke of. It's the same thing that Lao Tzu and the Buddha spoke of. It's this state of mind of freedom and essence and not content. So that's who I am. I'm absolutely loving life, loving the people I meet every week in various places, traveling about, being a teacher.
Well, if you find yourself in your travels here in the Santa Barbara area, please look us up. We'd love to do another interview with you in studio.
I will be in Los Angeles speaking at the Conscious Life Expo in February.
That's right.
The 8th and 9th, yeah. So I've got that coming up.
Well, we'll look forward to talking with you at that point in time, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it. Yeah, that's a great event. And I'm on a panel with some great people. I'm also giving a workshop myself. So, I'd love to see people there.
All right. And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
You know, I want people to let go of their own limiting. I want to inspire people to let go of their own limiting beliefs, their own resistance, and then be grateful that they've learned how to do this, because they've really learned how to live. I think life is only life when we get past fear.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
Well, we're extremely powerful. We're co-creators with the divine. So by channeling our attention and our intention, we can do amazing things. Just stop and think about some of the things we've done. And it continues to expand. I mean, we're putting, people on the moon. I was recently giving a workshop out at Tesla Motors there in Northern California. I mean, here's a car with no more gas stations. Talk about a paradigm shift. There's just amazing things that we are capable of when we get out of our own way.
John J. Murphy, thank you so much for taking so much time to share with us here on the program, and also to writing this book, Zentrepreneur, Get Out of the Way and Lead, and then Create a Culture of Innovation and Fearlessness. We hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate it.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.